Well, good evening once again to you. Extend you greetings in the name of our precious Savior, who has done so much for us. There's so much to be thankful for. And I have a lot to be thankful for, too, from you all. And we say thank you for your kind gifts that you have given to us. We're very grateful. Feel unworthy of that. We didn't look through that big basket full of things that you gave us, but our family will thoroughly enjoy doing that. Thank you for that. Thank you for your, I was going to say the snacks you sent home with us, but really it was meals that you sent home with us. Thank you for that. It was much appreciated too. And thank you for your prayers. God has been faithful in my life. This week looked big. But here we are at the last night. I trust that God will continue to work in my heart as he will in your heart. We can continue to grow. And I wish that for you as a congregation here. I feel life here and I've been blessed just by being here. And your presence has encouraged me. So God, be near to you as you continue on. Right where he has called you, faithful, allowing the Lord to work in and through you. Well, before we go into the message, let's sing our theme song again. I trust it has been an inspiration to you to sing this song. Sometimes we sing a song over and over, it can get weary, but I trust that this song can be an encouragement and a help to us. And sometimes when you sing something often enough, it stays with you, and it comes back to your mind occasionally through the weeks. That's a good thing. That's a blessing. Let's just sing all three verses here. And have the pitch for the song, please.
Know me without the Savior, this life is a puzzle of shame.
Broken and blessed.
Someday soon, very soon maybe, we'll be perfectly whole. We can be perfectly whole here. There's coming a day when we will be totally forever, perfectly whole. So let's continue to allow God to mold us, continue to keep ourselves in that sacrifice, the altar of sacrifice, so God can continue to work his will in and through us. And so we can be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water that's bringing forth its fruit in his season. And our leaves are staying green and we're growing and we're prospering. And someday, faithfulness to the end will get to our destination. And I look forward to that day. We could be home. Home forever to stay. Well, I thought about what I should bring here for us at the end of this week. And I thought, well, why don't we just turn to John chapter 14 to conclude this week with. These are words that we know very much by memory. We read these words. They're comforting to us. We've heard these words at funerals, loved ones who have passed away, hard things that come to us. These are promises that Jesus gives to us in John chapter 14. I just like to just draw some inspiration from this chapter here, the first four verses of John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Tonight, if you're a disciple of Christ, these are comforting words for us. Jesus spoke these words to comfort his disciples in this very moment, but they're also here for us tonight, also for our comfort and for our encouragement. These are some really precious verses that Jesus gives to us, and I fear sometimes that we know them so well that we sort of just miss the deepness and the depth that we see in Christ's heart when he speaks these words to us. And I just want to, again, refresh that in our minds, the heart of Christ as he speaks to us these words. What's the context that Jesus spoke these words? We'll just go back to chapter 13. We have some very troubled disciples in chapter 13. And Jesus loved these disciples that were perplexed and troubled and despairing as to what was going to happen next. And in verse 21 of chapter 13, Jesus, it says, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Just imagine yourself tonight sitting in that circle with Jesus, the 12 men sitting in a circle with Jesus, and Jesus says to that little circle there that night, he says, for sure, one of you tonight will betray me. One of you are going to betray me. Think about that. Think what a shocking message that was. To this group of disciples that followed Christ, he is saying to them, he's looking in their eyes and he's saying, one of you will betray me. Well, we have asking, they were asking, Lord, who is it? Who is it? Who are you talking about? What can this mean? And Judas was identified. And in verse 30, it says, he went out, and it was night. And so now we have one of the 12 gone out into the night. This was very troubling. What is happening? What's going on? These disciples were perplexed. Well, in verse 33, Jesus has some more bad news for them. He continues talking to them. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you. There's Jesus. He's looking at those 11 men that are left. And he's telling them, I'm leaving you. And you cannot come with me. Simon Peter, down in verse 36, he says, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus said, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. This is perplexing. How can this be? Where are you going? Where are you going, Jesus? I want to go with you. Jesus says, no, you can't come with me now, but afterwards you can. What does this mean? I can just feel just the despair in these 11 disciples as to what was going on. What is Jesus trying to tell us? Peter says in verse 37, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? He says, I'll lay down my life for you. Peter's getting desperate. Lord, why can't I go with you? I'm going with you, even if it means I'm going to die. Well, Jesus said on top of all of this, all of this troubling news, he says to Peter, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Just think about that. Think about Peter. He said, Lord, I'm going to go with you. I'll die with you. And Jesus says to him, Peter, I'm going to tell you, you're going to lie that you even know me 3 times. This was bad news. This was just not what the disciples wanted to hear. Jesus is going away. They can't come with him. One has already walked out into the night and one's going to deny him 3 times? Like, really? These 11 men, they've given their lives for Christ. They put aside their livelihoods, their occupations, and they followed faithfully with Christ those years that Christ was here. They walked with him, gave their time, their energy. They believed that he was the Son of God. And all of a sudden, Christ was telling them this troubling news. And they're perplexed by this. Lord, how can this be? How can this be? You're going away. Well, Jesus in this picture, he's also very troubled. It says there in verse 21 that he was troubled in his spirit. Why was Jesus troubled in his spirit? These 11 men, they were troubled and perplexed. And here is their master. He also is troubled and perplexed and distressed and burdened and weighted down. Why? The hour was coming. Christ could see the cross ahead of him. He knew dark Gethsemane was just around the corner. He could see that. He knew. He knew what was coming him. He felt the weight of that pressing in on him. And yet, in the midst of that weight, and whatever Christ felt, we won't ever fully comprehend what he felt when he suffered in the garden and on the cross. Whatever that was, deep distress that you and I will never know about. But yet, in the midst of that, he gives himself to comforting his disciples. Do you see that? Do you just feel the love and the compassion of Jesus in this chapter to his disciples and to us tonight? Jesus is being pressed down in spirit. Do we know what this kind of compassion is like? I mean, for myself, when I'm pressed down in my spirit and weighted, I'm not real good at comforting other people. I'm looking for them to comfort me. I need your encouragement. Come to me to strengthen me, but not our Jesus tonight. Do you see that? It's a beautiful picture of Christ. He's greatly troubled and distressed about the own weight upon his own shoulders. But in the midst of that, oh, his love for his 11 disciples as he comforts them. What compassion, what love is this? Jesus wasn't looking for someone to encourage him and sympathize with him. Not my Jesus. He sees troubled hearts about him, even in the midst of his trouble, and he reaches out to them with comfort to help them in their trouble. And so Jesus, in chapter 14, he's speaking words to these 11 men, comforting words, words that they needed so much at this very moment. And tonight is words that you and I need as well. These are comforting words. This is the context of John 14 and those verses that follow. These disciples were in a desperate situation. Such comfort in these words. Such comfort for all the disciples of Jesus in every generation. And in our time today, there's comfort in this passage for us. Well, for the sake of time, I would like to just take verse 3 and take 3 points from verse 3. We would like to look at Christ's coming. Secondly, at Christ's commitment. And thirdly, at Christ's closeness. And just be inspired by this verse tonight. This is our Savior. This is our Lord. Well, verse 3 says, Jesus says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." And if I go, that sounds like a conditional thing. Is Jesus going or is he staying? But it's not a good translation here. It should better read, "when I go," or "once I go," or "after I go." "After I go," "once I go," "when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Christ is coming again. Christ is saying to his 11 disciples, that night he said, "Don't worry, I'm coming again. But in the meantime, I'm not going to leave you as orphans." In verse 16, he says, "I'm going to pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he will abide with you forever. So in this meantime, well, I'm gone. I will look after you. I will send the Holy Spirit to live within you, to dwell within you, to comfort you, and to help you." For how long? Forever. Christ will come again. We sang that in that song tonight. He's coming again. And it says, we've heard it said so often that he's coming again. But he is coming again. That's what Scripture says. I will come again. Tonight, where you and I live, our culture gives so much time and emphasis for the first advent of Christ. They call it Christmas. And just, I don't know, it may have been even a month ago, the boys and I stopped in at Lowe's, and they're like, "Oh, Christmas, all the Christmas stuff." I was like, "Well, I guess this is still October yet, but it's not really Christmas. This wasn't what Christmas is about." Our culture has turned this holiday into a commercialized buying and selling, and it's become an idolatry. And it seems like every year, it seems like it just cranks up a little bit faster, a little bit hotter every year. It seems like this whole thing just keeps ratcheting up. It's called the holiday spirit. It's good cheer. It's really a materialistic, self-serving holiday that so much of the people around us are caught up into. It's a stressful situation, holiday to be in. But sadly tonight, much sadly, there's no attention, if any attention, given to the next happening that's about to happen. There's another event that is about to happen. Christ came first as a baby. He came as a lamb to die for our sins. But Scripture says he's coming again. I will come. This is the most important event that as Christians we should be preparing ourselves for. Not for the birth of Christ, but we should be preparing ourselves for the second coming of Christ. This is what we should be putting all of our efforts and our thinking into. Jesus is coming. The second time he's coming as a lion to rescue and to conquer and to subdue. This is the next event that so many people around us pay no attention to, or they scoff at it, but they're willing to worship a manger scene and think about Jesus a little bit, Christ coming, but they're not willing to recognize the next event that's about to take place. Christ says, I will come again. Hebrews 9, verse 28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin until salvation. Unto them that eagerly look for him. Are you looking for Christ to come back tonight? Or am I too earthly minded? Is my focus too much here? That we're really not even looking forward to the unfolding beauty of this day, of Christ coming. Are we just pretty comfortable with our existence as the church in the West? Life is just pretty good here, and we just feel at home. Do we have sleepy Christians that sit on our church benches who are not really prepared for Christ when he will come again the second time? And so tonight, this is a call for us to wake up. It's high time to wake out of sleep tonight. If you're sleeping, it's time to wake up and to see the signs of the times that you and I are living in. There's urgency here. Let us work while it's day, while the opportunity is here. Well, these disciples, they needed this promise that Christ was coming again. They clung to this promise as they went through the rest of their life that Christ was coming again. They held that in their minds. That's what kept them going. I'm coming again. This is what Jesus said to me. I'm coming again. He's saying it to us tonight. Am I a scoffer? And we say, no, it's not time yet. It probably won't be yet. We hear all this talk. Oh, it probably won't happen yet. That's scoffing. And I've been guilty of doing that. Let's not scoff. Christ will come. He will come. So, are we ready? Or do we say, well, maybe not yet, Lord. Not yet. I need to do maybe some fresh inventory. Maybe I need to do some heart work. What does your heart, what does my heart really long for? What is the deep desire within your heart, in my heart? If Jesus would come tonight yet, would that throw some sort of kink into our plans, into what we hope to do yet? Even good things can get into the way of longing for Christ to come back. Even good things like marriages and children And you have to understand me, we're to love our wives and our families and care for them, but we dare not let them take the place of Christ in our life. Because when they do, we'll be like, well, I want to wait till my children are grown, or wait till wait till this or wait till that. But no, Christ is of all importance, and whenever he comes, that's the perfect time for him to come. So tonight, are there idols in my life that I need to get rid of because they're stealing my joy and expectancy of the coming of the Lord again? It's sad tonight if I allow earthly joys and loves to take away my joy of Christ coming again. That is a sad reality. Do I rejoice tonight in Christ's promise and Jesus' promise like these disciples did? They rejoiced in this promise. Later, Jesus said, I'm coming again, and that brought joy to their hearts. Does that bring joy to my heart tonight that Christ is coming again? Do we really long for it like John the Revelator? Jesus said, soon, I'm coming soon. And John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. Well, tonight, perhaps we're more prone to think of Jesus as our intercessor and as our helper, which he is. Absolutely, he is. But he's more than that. He is the lover of his bride. Do we ever stop to think about that? The passionate love that Christ has for his church, for his bride, and how he must just long to have her with him. I mean, if you're married tonight, men, and if your wife is gone for just a number of days, my wife went back home when my mother-in-law was going through some chemo treatments, and she was up there for about a week. Well, I just couldn't wait till she came home again. I was just picked her up at the airport. I just couldn't wait to see her face again. So glad to have her back. But do we ever take time to think about Jesus as the bridegroom and his heart's desire and his longing? Father, I'm just itching to go to bring them back. I can't wait. I want to go. Jesus will come. He is his longing to take his bride home. Jesus longs to be with his people. In John 17, in Jesus' prayer, he says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Do you see? Christ is desiring that we would be with him. That is his prayer here. Father, I just pray that they can be with me, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. Christ prayed that when he was here. It's a beautiful prayer. Gaze on Jesus tonight and on the assurance of his return. And if I go and prepare a place for you, and these words should stir up within us peace and joy. This is a promise that Jesus gives to us. I will come again. The second thought is Christ's commitment. I will come again and receive you unto myself. I will take you to myself. This is what Jesus said to those 11. He's saying it to us tonight. I will take you to myself. I will receive you to myself. Jesus will rescue his bride and take her to himself. And he's longing to do that tonight. Christ will always be true to his word. It's as if it has already happened. It's that sure tonight that he will do this. That he will stand true to his commitment. He always stands true on his word. He never goes back. Not one word shall fail him. This is comfort for us tonight. This is comfort that will take us through the darkest days that you and I will maybe yet face. Just picture Christ just anxiously waiting to come to take you to himself so you can be with him, so you can see his glory. That's his desire. That's his heart. He has longings in his heart for you. Oh, do you see that and feel that tonight, child of God? The deepness of Christ and his feelings towards you. How his heart throbs for you. What is this commitment built on? What is this commitment of Christ built on? It's love. It's love for his people. That's what it's built on. This is the language of love. Yes, he's coming back, and yes, he will set everything straight that is crooked, and he will bring judgment. Yes, he will do that. He's coming to judge the wicked, but this commitment is built on his undying love for his people. This is the force that motivates Jesus to want to come back. It's not to bring judgment. It's not to set the wicked in their place, but he wants to come back for his bride. That's what's motivating him, his love for his people, to bring them to himself. He says, I'm preparing a place for you. I have a home for you. I have a home for you. Think back, husbands, when you first got married. Maybe you bought your first house or whatever it is, but you fixed up as best as you could for your new bride. You wanted it to be as nice as you could make. Think tonight of how much more Jesus, as our perfect groom, is preparing a place for us. Everything perfect. And he's just longing to bring us home. That's his heart tonight for us. I will receive you unto myself. He's longing for his father to say, son, it's time. Go. Go and bring him home. It's time. And so, as somebody said, our last day, if we are redeemed, it will be our best day. Whether tonight that's by sickness, whether it's by accident, whether it's by death of old age, whatever it is, or even the coming of this bridegroom, whatever it is, if you're redeemed tonight, that will be your best day ever. Ever. We need to have faith to believe that. He'll receive you to himself. Why doesn't he say that I'll take you to heaven? Why doesn't he say that I'll take you to this beautiful place? He doesn't say that. He says, I'm going to take you to myself. He's preparing a place, but that's not the most important thing about this whole thing. Is not the place, but it's about who's in the place. And it's Jesus. Do you see that tonight? We're going to be looking at Jesus. Oh, the beauty of his face and the love and the mercy that comes from the one who saved us. Jesus is the climax of this place. He's the most precious part of this place. It's not the streets of gold. It's not all the beautiful things that Scripture tells us so much as who's there. Who's there? He's taking us to himself, to myself, he says. This is a promise that Jesus gave to us tonight as his children that he will hold true to. He will take you to himself. Beautiful commitment of Jesus. And lastly, Christ's closeness. That where I am, there ye may be also. Is this the language of love? This is the language of love. I want my bride with me tonight. This is the love language. This is so, this is beautiful love. Amazing love. It's a love that's so strong and pure. Where I am, there ye may be also. This is no drudgery for Jesus. This isn't a hardship for Jesus. No, this is a great delight. Jesus will take us to where he is so that we can be with him. The second coming of Christ, and it's all about the heart of love that Christ has for his bride. That's what it's about. That's what's beating in these verses, in this verse tonight, in Christ's heart. Such wondrous love, such delight. His bride, to be with him forever. We sing the song, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Oh, the depths of Christ's love tonight is unsearchable. We will never get to the depths of Christ's love to us. And I want you to see how much Christ loves you as his child tonight. He loves you with a love that you can't fully comprehend. You can see it in this verse. Such intimacy. This verse, it pulls back a veil. We can see into the heart of Jesus tonight. Deep into his heart. And he says, I want you where I am. Tonight, this is the cure for troubled hearts. This is the cure for hearts that are afflicted and are in difficult times. This is the cure. If you're depressed and discouraged tonight, do you just glimpse just a little bit the tender love of Jesus? Tender love of Jesus. So lovely and so pure, flowing through this vessel. Do you get glimpses? Do you feel the love that Jesus wants you to feel tonight deep within your heart? This is Christ, his love for you as his child. Has his love captivated me? If it has, the things of this earth are going to seem rather dim, not very bright, not very appealing. There's something much bigger that my heart's set on that I'm seeing, and I'm getting glimpses of Christ, the lover of my soul. Does this love ever draw you? Does it ever motivate you? Does it ever constrain you? Does it ever drive you? That's what Christ's love will do for you as his child. His love is strong. Paul says his love constrains us. It's like a whip. His love will motivate you if you get glimpses of Christ and his love to keep on doing right, to keep going right. Because you see glimpses of Jesus. Do you see them? Do you see them in these verses tonight? They're here. It's beautiful. Well, do you ever wish, like the Apostle Paul, he says that he was in a strait betwixt two, had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Is that our testimony tonight, that it would be better for us to be with Christ? That's far better? That was Paul's testimony. Do I really love Jesus tonight with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength? He's coming again. He's coming again. He's not sending an angel to take us home. No, this is too great of a happening. Christ gives his bride to no other tonight.
He's coming for her himself. He will come himself for her. He's coming again. Tonight, are you ready? Are you ready to meet him? Are you longing for his embrace? Is your house in order and you're packed and ready to go? Ready to go. Well, tonight, if there's any troubled hearts here tonight, I trust you can leave comforted. Jesus wants you to leave comforted. These are his words to us, to bring comfort and hope to us. Continue to trust in the words of Jesus and in his promises. They will bring you hope and comfort. Return. Return again to your first love. Return again. The sands of time are sinking. Sands of time are sinking. We don't know how much time we have left. None of us know that. But Christ is coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Jesus says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then comfort one another with these words. There's comfort tonight in our Bibles. Comfort from Jesus himself. It's here for us to be encouraged and strengthened by. May God continue to help us in our lives, that we may, yes, see glimpses of Christ and his love for us, and allow that to motivate us to keep living right, hopefully waiting for when he will come, or when we breathe our last breath here and our days are over. But we'll be with Christ. Precious, amazing thought. We'll sing a verse of an invitation song tonight. If there's someone here that knows they're not ready for this, tonight's another chance for you to get ready. And so we'll give you that opportunity to acknowledge a need within your heart if you have one. Do you have a song that we can sing? 305 and the Zion's Praises. God continue to bless you and give you comfort, strengthen you for the weeks and months and years ahead, however long you're here. We don't know. But keep on going, being faithful until he comes or until he calls us home. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. We will not regret
we will not regret being faithful here. Thank you again for your attention. Thank you again for your presence, for your prayers. May you go from here strengthened and encouraged. May our hearts be filled with what Christ has done and what he's doing and what he will continue to do for us forever and ever.